Welcome to your Found Family podcast, where we don't just have a heart-to-heart, we connect soul to soul. I'm your host, Lizzie, a certified coaching practitioner who found family outside of blood family. In our Found Family, you are accepted and assured that you are not alone. Subscribe and tune in for educational and empowering soul chats with women from all over the world, talking about well-being, personal growth and development, and mental and emotional health. Hi, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Found Family Podcast. Very excited to have another special guest with me today, Adele, and we are going to be talking about how changing your brain patterns can change your life. Adele Spraggin is an award-winning author, a thought leader, international speaker, and trainer. She has been awarded 2020 Women of Inspiration Award, and in 2021, she was recognized as the top behavioral expert of the year. Her book, Shift: Four Steps to Personal Empowerment, has won 3 awards and is sweeping the globe, transforming how people are setting and achieving their goals. After decades of feeling stuck in patterns of procrastination, avoidance, and quitting, all of which had her living her life below her fullest potential, Adele set out on a journey of discovery and learning. The result is the creation of her proprietary 4-step repatterning technique, which she delivers through a member portal called the Pattern Maker Hub. Today, she supports thousands globally to achieve extraordinary levels of happiness, peace of mind, prosperity, goal achievement, and life fulfillment. That is just beautiful, Adele. Thank you so much for all that you do and welcome to Found Family.
Oh, thank you for having me, Elizabeth. Happy to be here.
Absolutely. Oh my goodness. Well, I would absolutely love to start by hearing a little bit more about your story. I am also equally as fascinated about human behavior and would love to hear how you came to study human behavior.
Yeah, well, I've been in the personal development industry for over 30 years. So that just shows how old my age. But Elizabeth, what was happening for me was for the first 15 or so of those years, even though I was coaching, even though I was following all the methodologies that I'd been told should improve my mindset, I was still struggling very much with panic attacks. I was still struggling with quitting. I wanted my own business, but I quit 3 of them, one after another. And I couldn't figure out why. And for the life of me, everything that I tried would not get me over these hurdles. So eventually, after I quit my 3rd business and I was still having all these panic attacks and all of this stuff was going on, I decided, all right, it's not me. For the first time, I said, it can't be me. I've done everything that I've been told to do. So I decided I wanted to study how the human brain works, how it makes decisions. So I took myself to university. I got my master's in humanities, and I really wanted to dive into all the different angles of how to look at the brain. And what I discovered is fascinating. The findings that are coming out of neuroscience in the last 20 years are actually very, very shocking when it gets right down to how the brain is working and how we thought it was working before. And what I realized is we've all been following the wrong operating instructions. So I created new instructions and I started to teach it. I myself started to reach my goals. Very quickly, I brought on a bunch of people to test it, and they were reaching their goals. And today, in little informal surveys in-house in our Pattern Maker Hub, about 87% of the people who use this technique actually make it. And I thought, wow. Okay, we're onto something here. This is the way the human brain works. And so that's what I teach.
Wow, that is amazing. And I feel that your story can really resonate with a lot of us. I know that I'm sitting over here like raising my hand thinking like, yep, the panic attacks that sometimes I still get as well. And, you know, having been in the personal development space for a couple of years, it is interesting to kind of hear that there is this wiring in our brain. And I'm also like very fascinated with like neuroscience and just like understanding the brain and neuroplasticity and understanding all of those things. I just am like, it is infinitely fascinating. And I think also maybe a little bit overwhelming for someone to kind of think, okay, here are so many tools and methodologies and teachings. How can I know what will work, what won't work, what, you know, to start with, et cetera. So I think that What might also be helpful to share with our audience is talking a little bit more about what we mean when we're talking about brain patterns and kind of explaining a little bit about that so that we can get clarity on maybe some of these differences, if you're able to share a little bit more about the brain patterns.
Yeah, absolutely. And it does sound very intimidating. You're right, when we start talking about the brain, but really we can simplify it right down. If you think about your brain, it's housed inside a dark and silent room, right? It's inside this bony skull with no access really to the outside world. So all it has to go on is these electrical impulses that it's doing its best to interpret what is going on through the information that's coming in through the senses. But it doesn't have any direct contact to what is coming in from through the senses, okay? So I like to say that between us and everything, that every situation that we're in, there is an interpreter, and that interpreter is our brain patterns. So the human brain is unlike other animal brains. Animal brains are born with instincts. They are born intuitively knowing what to do. As human beings, we have to learn everything. So from the moment we're born, we're very, very quickly piecing together what are the actions that I need to take in any given situation. And so throughout childhood, a person is creating a lot of brain patterns, and each of those brain patterns is responsible for interpreting a situation and delivering an action. And sometimes those patterns become obsolete. So we create them when we're little, but because nobody's taught us that our brain has plasticity and that it is able to rewire, we just get kind of stuck or trapped inside those old patterns, those old behaviors that are now in need of an upgrade. And so once we know, oh, okay, hang on a minute, I got a pattern here. And the only reason that I've got a problem is because I have a brain pattern that is obsolete, and you have a tool to upgrade that brain, then everything just becomes delightfully simple. It's like, oh, okay, I don't have to worry about how to fix this problem. All I have to do is remove the pattern that is creating the problem and then see what the brain does. And the brain does something remarkable. It creates a new pattern because that's what it's designed to do. And at that point, the opportunity for that problem to go away, it just happens.
Wow. And so out of curiosity then, because of, you know, hearing that human brains are so different from animal brains and knowing that animals do have these like intuitive responses to things, are human brains, like what are some of the things that we are intuitively about, or is everything more about patterns? I'm just kind of curious about that.
That's a great question. And I am no neuroscientist, okay? So I'm not going to say that everything is intuitive, or sorry, everything is learned. But I like to err on the side of it's primarily learned. Okay? Because whether you're born with something or not, right? And everybody is, of course, born with certain personality bents, right? Or moving in that direction. But it doesn't mean that our socialization can't affect that in very deep and profound ways sometimes. And so it's so much better just to think, okay, I'm going to err on the side of I learn all of my brain patterns, I can change all of my brain patterns, and then see, rather than trying to figure out what is innate and what you can affect.
Mm-hmm. That's a great answer. I appreciate that. And it's like that, back and forth about like nurture versus nature, which like one thing that I feel I've always tried to figure out and understand. And again, you know, like living with OCD and having a lot of unanswered questions, which lead to compulsions. That was something I was very fixated on for a very long time, because I think that it can become distressing to some degree when we hyper-focus on, oh my gosh, what's the right way? What's the wrong way? And I think one area that, you know, we're talking about that I personally think is comforting is knowing that if we have learned certain behaviors, if we've learned certain patterns, that we can unlearn them. And I think that I would hope, again, that that is something that could really empower someone, is to look at what that person is experiencing in life and say, okay, I'm going to explore what it could look like to unlearn this particular thing. And I know that for myself included, and I have certainly talked about it, you know, in other episodes where there's a lot of things that I had realized I learned in childhood and even into young adulthood and adulthood, that when you really break down and find the root of whatever it is that is causing something, and you start to assess, well, where did I pick up on this? How did I learn how to respond in this way? How did I learn how to behave in a way that, you know, either made something better or worse, you know, for whatever the situation is. But I think that like talking more about like root causes will also really help our audience. So what would you say are some of the root causes for stress, anxiety, and overwhelm?
Sure. Well, we've all had situations from the past which result in a higher level of anxiety in some people. I mean, my panic attacks came very much from my childhood. I grew up in an alcoholic family. My father was an alcoholic. He was mentally ill. He would rage. He would, and you know, my mother managed it. We lived in Venezuela, so we lived away from all other families. So we were very isolated. My mother managed it by taking us out of the house in the morning and not bringing us back till very, very late at night. So when we would come in, we would find that the house had been destroyed and things along that line. You know, so of course, all of those situations caused a higher level of anxiety, right? Mm. Now, I also say that I was probably born with a higher level of anxiety, right? I see it sometimes in my children. So I'm not saying that it's all learned behavior, and I'm not here to blame all of it on socialization. But certainly there can be a bent towards that based on the past. Mm. But here's the thing that everybody needs to know. Even though those situations occurred in the past, they are arising now inside a brain pattern. That memory is arising now. You know, I like to think of the past as falling through time, falling through space rather than looking back through time, right? Mm. If you think of it as falling through space, there's nothing above you if you're here, right?
Right.
So in that way, it's not like we can go back there and change that pattern. But because memory is arising now, and because our brain has plasticity, we can change so much. I mean, so much. When I change some of my past memories through repatterning, Elizabeth, it's so exciting because it's like somebody takes all the drawers, all the memories, and they're all in drawers and files in this drawer. We're going to pull open that drawer, take those files out and throw them up in the air. And they all come down in a different order. Mm. Ordered differently, and your memory about the situation expands, and you remember so much more. There's so much more compassion that comes for all the different players. There's so much more love and gratitude for the lessons that I've learned. So when we start to work with the brain and we start to upgrade those old patterns, at the level of action, behavior, belief, we can be a victim of situations, but at the level of pattern, we never have to be, right? Mm-hmm. Because we get to be empowered inside those patterns, and that's beautiful.
That is beautiful. And what a great analogy as well. And something that came up in my mind as you were talking is, it seems to be that for those that are aware or notice a pattern that is keeping them stuck, in a similar way that when we shared your bio about your background and being very conscious in those stuck moments, would you say that someone would need to, for lack of better words, need to be like open to some degree to wanting to explore, like, or if someone is a bit more hesitant to look at a pattern and look to healing or change, you know, how could that person experience this opening of the drawers experience? Like, you know, does that question make sense? I'm like, there's like three in my mind that I'm trying to put into one, but it's kind of like holistically, what could you say to someone who wants to be unstuck and wants to change the patterns, but is scared or, you know, maybe is being a little bit resistant to that whole experience?
Yeah, great question. Great question. Because I find in our world today, we swim in a world of blame and shame. Mm. We swim in a world where we have to find what is wrong and fix it. Mm-hmm. And if we, it's either there's something wrong outside, it's the situation or it's somebody else or it's us. Okay. And those are our three choices. When we start to work with patterns, we start to realize there's never anything wrong. Mm. There are patterns that work and there are patterns that don't work. And I like to say, if no matter what anybody does, if somebody asks you, why did you do that? Here's your answer. Because my patterns made me. Mm. We are not actually in charge of our actions. Our patterns are in charge. Now, that doesn't let anybody off the hook, because once we know that a pattern doesn't work and we have a way to change that pattern, then we're responsible for changing that pattern, as in able to respond, right? Mm. As in I'm able to upgrade that. So great question, because in our world of blame and shame, we're often told that we shouldn't do things and that we should know better and that we should be able to change things. And oftentimes we get trapped in old actions and the pattern keeps running and we start to say, there's something wrong with me. Well, there's never anything wrong. Okay. That's the first thing to know. The second thing to know is if somebody's uncomfortable exploring their past, then they shouldn't. They don't have to, because the pattern is running here now. And all we need to know is our reaction to our current situation in order to change something. We never have to dig into the past and explore. I used to have this terrible time inside of coaching and things like that, because people would be saying to me, well, what happened? Like, you know, why do you have this money issue, Adele, right? And I'd be going, well, I don't even remember my childhood. How am I supposed to know how I came up with this money pattern? Mm. So now I had two problems. I had my problem with money at the time, and then I had my inability to remember what had happened in the past around money. Mm-hmm. So, and then I just kept piling problems on top of problems. So yeah, no blame and shame, first thing to know. Second thing to know, no need to dig into the past. If you don't know the originating incident, doesn't matter. The pattern is arising here now. That's all we need to know. And the third thing is, be very gentle with yourself. Mm. There's patterns, take actions. We didn't cause that pattern. When you were 2 years old, you probably weren't good enough at something, right? Your brain didn't know it at the time and it stored that pattern. Mm. That doesn't mean that you're not good at it now. It just means that you've got an old obsolete pattern that needs to be removed.
Mm. Wow. That is, thank you so much for sharing that. And really, like, the words blame and shame, there's a lot, you know, that happens even to this day after doing, you know, 5.5 years of self-work and putting in a lot of hard work to learn new patterns and work on myself. But blame and shame were a lot of that. Those were the two pillars that I lived on. You know, when we don't know how to access these, you know, ways of rewiring our brains and changing patterns, and we do rely on, like, the auto default of what those old patterns do. I mean, I was blaming and shaming myself left and right all the time. And then, you know, mixed in with the OCD, and I had suffered from scrupulosity, which is like a subset of OCD affiliated with religion. And that's a lot of blame and shame that I had experienced in my personal life as well, that just, you know, piled up and made it worse. So similar to what you were sharing about your story, is that when we're in a position of looking to healing and to reprogramming, and then more things get piled on, it does seem like this massive mountain. And it's like, you know, it seems to be that it's doesn't have to be that complicated. Doesn't have to be this, like, astronomical, oh my gosh, how am I going to do it? And that's really something that I hope our audience is able to take away from this, is just the ability that we all have to heal, to grow, to overcome, to be able to reprogram our brains and to change these patterns. I just think that's really awesome. And an additional comment too that I wanted to add is, I had felt, you know, 5.5 years ago when I really started my personal journey, that there was this level of being more open And so I think that, and actually I'm kind of curious to hear your feedback on this as well. If you think that to some degree, someone, you know, can be more open to this kind of reprogramming if they go into it with more of like an openness, and what kind of words of, or, you know, comfort or advice would you give to someone who may be like a bit scared?
So scared of internal exploration, like,
yeah. And like maybe being a bit more afraid to, be open to the change or to the reprogramming experience.
Yeah. Yeah. I always like to say that repatterning is not therapy. Right? The difference between having to analyze what's happening and what's going on internally and repatterning is, here, let me give you the definition of a pattern. A pattern is an intertwined physical sensation, emotion, and thought. Mm. So when we can identify, what am I feeling? Where am I feeling it? And what is one thought that my brain is bringing as a result of that experience in the body? Now we can start the process of teasing that pattern apart and putting it back into just a sensation, just an emotion, just a thought. So let me just explain what I just said.
Ooh.
You've said I'm OCD, right? Mm-hmm. Now, you know what's so interesting, Elizabeth? The thing that always kills me is our brains, we're all born with different bodies. And we all expect that, right? But then we don't give our brains the same gentleness. We're all born with different brains. Why do we make all of these differences incorrect in some way, right? Mm-hmm. So we have all of these different labels. So you say I'm OCD, and that to you drives a particular pattern. There'll be an emotion that is attached to that, and there'll be a thought that goes along with that. Mm-hmm. And when you feel that emotion and think that thought, the body will respond in some way. It will react in some way, correct?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Correct. Very correct.
That's what I'm talking about. That can be transformed. So your brain may be wired a little differently than everybody else's, and why not? Like, we all have different bodies. We would all have different brains, mm-hmm. but that doesn't mean that that you need to react in the same way to that, as if that is something negative or incorrect. Right? Mm-hmm. So that often makes it very, very easy for somebody who works with me to actually start to explore what's going on. Because first of all, there's no blame, there's no shame, there's nothing to fix here. There's just a pattern that's obsolete. So that's the first thing. And the second thing is, all we're doing is we're looking at, all right, what are you feeling? Where are you feeling that? What's one thought that goes through your head? Mm-hmm. Phew, that's it. That's what they say to me. That's all? Yeah, that's it. That's all we have to know. That's step one, right? Mm-hmm. Step two is we're going to flip that switch. So we're used to thinking that there's something wrong with me or something wrong with the situation or something wrong out there. Nope, we're going to flip that. It's a pattern that is arising internally. So that's step two. Step three, we are just going to gently deconstruct that pattern and put them back into those three respective places, physical, emotional, mental. And then step four, we'll let the brain do what the brain does best, create new patterns. That's it.
Wow. I am so glad I asked that question, because that is the most wonderful, you know, I'm so grateful that we have this recorded and that this is something to now be shared with everyone, because that is wonderful. I mean, thank you for sharing. I'm so grateful for you sharing the definition of pattern too, because I think that's very helpful for us to be able to put it more into a context that, you know, we can very easily understand, and that it like resonates with us when we hear definitions of, oh, okay, that makes sense. You know, like, we know what the word means, but to hear it broken down like that was great. And then to go through the four patterns, you know, the four steps rather, is again, hopefully a way to give our listeners a nice deep inhale and exhale, because it's like, okay, I got this. There doesn't have to be anything, you know, that I need to be worried about. I can feel more open about this. And actually, I saw on your website that there was someone who had also been diagnosed with OCD that worked with you and had a very positive experience. So even just hearing you talking about the patterns, which is very much, you know, what goes on, is a wonderful thing to be able to know that, even for those that have different brains and different things that we're all going through, that these steps are still applicable for everyone, because this is how the brain works. So
absolutely.
I love that.
Yeah, I'm not a psychiatrist, so I can't help with mental illnesses, but the ability to just detach from all the stigma sometimes around the mental challenge is mm-hmm. so delightfully positive for most people who work with me who have an experience like that, right? It's like, oh yeah, okay, phew, it's all right. There's nothing wrong with me. There's nothing to fix. It's just a brain pattern here. And then, you know, there's something really, really soothing about that.
Yeah, that's so true. And if I may piggyback, because I feel that a lot of what I even remember hearing about, you know, growing up is I'm broken. There really has been such a stigma around mental health. And I'm so grateful that we are in a place as a collective planet now where we are able to be more open and there's more awareness, there's more knowledge, there's more that we're just discussing around this. And as we continue learning about the brain and, you know, the way in which we're able to change it and all of that, I mean, it's incredible to see how much we've been able to learn and all of that. So yeah, I think that that's great.
Yeah, there's so much exciting times coming now because of what we're learning about the brain. I think we're on a revolution of mind, right?
Yes.
Like revolutions of the past were political or social. Now this is a revolution of the very thing inside our head, which is super exciting.
Definitely. Oh my gosh, for sure. Yeah. And another question that I had, which it seems like it's already been answered, but I'm curious to open it up and see if there are other things that you're able to share, is how does working with brain patterns differ from working with other personal development methods?
Yeah, I think I have gone through it, but I'll just summarize it up because that might be easier. So other methods are very much about analyzing, finding the problem, right? But more so about coming up with the solution. So you've got a problem. Once you've got a problem, then you're encouraged. Okay, well, how are you going to fix that? What are you going to do? So maybe you're going to think positive. Maybe you're going to set a better goal, all of that stuff. Forget it. Scratch it. Okay. All we care about as pattern makers is to identify the problem. And then we're going to remove that problem. So I like to say it's a method of subtraction, not a method of addition.
Okay. Oh, I love that. Okay.
Well, as soon as we remove the pattern, then we're removing the problem. As soon as we do that, our brain is forced to do something intriguing. So it has to tap into what I call the vast warehouse within. So here's what I mean by this. Inside your brain, in the subconscious regions of your brain, not in a format that's accessible, but in the subconscious region of your brain is everything that you have ever seen, heard, smelled, touched, or tasted in your lifetime, stored in what I call the vast warehouse within. As soon as we remove an old obsolete pattern, the brain is forced to tap into that unconscious region to deliver a new pattern for the situation. And people just have these most delightfully surprising results. It's like, oh, I didn't know I could do that, they'll say, right? Or they'll respond so differently inside of a conflict that's been there forever and ever and ever. And suddenly they're saying something and it just dissipates that conflict in the moment. And they go, how did that happen? And it's because your brain is wired to rewire itself. That's what it wants to do all the time. And it wants to tap into these subconscious regions that house so much more than what we think we know.
Wow. See, and again, I appreciate the metaphor. I saw it in my head as you were saying, like an internal warehouse. And, you know, I was going to make a joke like, oh, no pressure or anything for our minds to just store it. Literally everything we've ever smelled, that is insane, you know, to think
And if you think about it, Elizabeth, you'll be able to see it. Like, have you ever had a smell and you've been transported back in time to a memory of your past and you go, I didn't, like, I'd forgotten all about that. And you're standing in the very place in your mind, vividly remembering. Yeah, that's because your brain is just tapped into that warehouse.
That is wild. And very much the same way with songs, even. I don't know if it's, you know, lately I've been on a 90s music kick where I'm just like reminiscing on like songs of my childhood, and just, it's amazing also how we can remember lyrics, you know, to songs that it's like, I haven't heard this song in maybe 15 years, you know, and you just listen to it and immediately remember where you were when you last heard it, maybe what you were wearing, who you were with. It is absolutely wild, you know, and this is where on both sides of it, it's like being able to recall memories that give us that like feeling of happiness, but then also recalling memories that then bring us the opposite. And I just love that you are phrasing it like what you have created is like more about the subtraction, because it also, that's a very powerful metaphor as well, that yes, in the other methodologies and all of that, that it's like, you know, you're finding something and then you're adding something which will hopefully help as a solution. But I would think that looking at it from a lens of like, I'm subtracting the problem is a little bit lighter to even think about as a method of healing and of working through something, because that is in and of itself going into the root cause, going back to what we were saying before. You know, it's no longer needing to like take the longer route, which may take you to the solution, but this method seems to be more pinpointing. So I think that that's really wonderful.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, it truly is. I mean, when you can just subtract the problem without having to worry about what the solution is, right? Mm-hmm. There is something so liberating and freeing about that than having to worry about, okay, well, now what do I do?
And
that
you
can
know,
be heavy.
Yeah. I feel like what you just said is like a really incredible summary of like how to answer, you know, if our episode today is how changing your brain patterns can change your life. What you just said, I think, summarizes everything that we've been talking about so far in such a beautiful package that it's like, it's not looking at it from, and I don't want to misquote you here, but I think you said something like, it's not about the solution, it's about removing the problem. Like, I think that in and of itself is the tagline, if you will, to to what we're talking about. And that's amazing. That's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, because our brains are truly creative geniuses. I mean, they're so innovative. When we can get out of their way and let them do what they're supposed to do, they mm-hmm. come up with the most creative solutions that take care of everybody. I sometimes wish, you know, these climate change summits that are going on right now, I sometimes wish that I could just go in there and teach everybody how to repattern, because we could just so quickly stop 3/4 of those arguments. Let's just remove the problem and see what our brains come up with.
Right. And
the vast warehouses in that room would come up with an amazing solution in no time.
Yes. Yes. And actually, I think that what you just shared kind of helps answer the final question, which is, you know, how can we discover the power of our brains? I think that, you know, you're already tapping into it, that by understanding that we've got this, you know, internal warehouse, we're able to kind of I love how you're saying like, let the brain do what it does, you know, but I'm curious to hear if there's, you know, other things that you'd like to add about how we can discover the power of our brains.
Well, the way I say to discover it is use the 4-step repatterning technique, and you'll just be amazed. I mean, you know, I created a level which I never dreamed I would ever be able to create at. I sometimes have to Google terminology that I didn't know I knew.
Wow.
Okay. That's how powerful. And I'm not unique. I mean, I'm not like people in the Pattern Maker Hub who know how to use this technique. They come up with the most creative solutions, which are incredible.
Wow.
So our brain really is designed in a way that we are using a fraction of it, of its capacity.
That is very true. I feel like the movie that's coming to mind is that movie Lucy, where it's like, you know, showing that we really are only using like a small percentage. And it's incredible to know that we have access to so much. And so I really would love to close today's Soul Chat, really empowering our listeners to the incredible abilities that our brains have, and, you know, offering your site and your book as an incredibly powerful resource to be able to start accessing our brain power, myself included. I mean, I'm very curious now to dive deeper. And I know that your book is already out. I'm not sure if there are other projects that you're working on, but I certainly want to encourage our Found family to follow you on all of your social medias and everything. And in the description of the YouTube video, you'll find all of Adele's links. And then for those of you that are listening to the podcast, it can be found in the description. But Adele, please let us know where we can find you and what other resources that you have available for us.
Well, I'll go one better. I'll gift everybody a book who wants one.
Okay? Oh, you're so
all I ask is that people pay for shipping, but you can get a free book on my website. And yeah, I'll send you a signed copy. Yeah, and I'd just like to leave your listener with this. Happiness is your birthright. You are deserving of peace and happiness and joy and delight and just living in the moment freely as you are meant to live. And if anything is in conflict internally or externally, it is all the result of a pattern and it can be upgraded. So yeah, wow. Grab my book and happiness.
Absolutely. Oh my gosh. Thank you. And are you also on social media?
I am. Yeah. So Facebook, Repatternist, there's a page there. It'll be in your link, I'm sure. I always forget the name of the page. It's Repatternist or something like that. But if you just go on adelsbergen.com, you can get to all my social media channels from there.
Amazing. Wonderful. Well, Adele, this was such a pleasure. What a treat. I am so grateful the universe brought us together, and like, what an amazing Soul Chat and topic. So I thank you so much for being here.
Oh, thank you, Elizabeth. It's been fun.
Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to this week's episode. Be sure to hit that subscribe button and tune in next week for a new topic. To help spread the good vibes, please share this episode with friends and family, or if you share on social, be sure to tag me at Coach Lizzie.